Revolution Radio. Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
World, I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Tired of what the mainstream news tells you or how the politicians are trying to take away America's freedoms? Ready for a change? Join the master of provocative insight, Dwight Lilly. He will take us
down a rabbit hole.
But no need to worry. He will lead us through the maze of half-lies and fake news to the light at the end of the tunnel. Knowledge is power, and ignorance is a ticket to slavery. Join Dwight as he tries to help bring knowledge to the public that will crack down on the ever-increasing dissent in the world today.
Okay, Dwight Lilly back here, and quite a few things to hit on today. I want to start off, you know, we have the Georgia election fiasco, that's with Trump being accused of trying to steal the election down in Georgia. And I'm going to get into that with a story that I just read from X. But first, I got to remind the listeners that Revolution Radio is a listener-supported radio network. That means that we don't have paid advertising here. You don't hear any ads on my radio show or any other show. So at freedomslips.org, hit that donate button and give generously to Revolution Radio. You can also become a Patreon supporter. That's what I did. And the instructions are right there. You can donate cryptocurrency. There's a link for that. And you can mail in a donation. Four different ways you can help us keep the lights on here. Okay, here's an article. Okay. Let me say this again. We know that Donald Trump is under fire by the Fulton County District Attorney, wanting to have his butt thrown in jail, and he tried to steal the election, and on and on and on and on and on. Well, then it developed into, well, the DA had a boyfriend that she paid $700,000 to, and she's about ready to get impeached in the state of Georgia. She's got all sorts of problems there with her job. But now we've got this. You know, we heard that there was no elections that were stolen. That's been the mantra from the Democrats since 2020. Nah, you know, this all was reviewed by the courts. And yeah, there was a few discrepancies here or there. But you know, anyway, let me read this to you. New Georgia election board dumbfounded after finding out that 3,000 ballots were scanned twice in 2020 election recount in Fulton County. The board also revealed that 380,761 ballot images from machine count were not available. Question, does Fulton County know why there are not 380,761 ballot images from Election Day? Answer, as with the investigators, we have not been apprised of this allegation. This is the first time hearing about it. General Counsel for the Secretary of State's Office, Charlene McGowan, confirmed that Fulton County broke the law in their recount. Fulton County used improper procedures during the recount of the presidential contest 2020, and despite this, the board refused to approve further investigation. So it just keeps getting uglier and uglier and uglier, that 2020 election. But, you know, water under the bridge, I spoke about this quite a few times. And, yeah, Donald Trump lost the election. The Democrats outmaneuvered the Republicans. And if Republicans aren't on top of their game this time around, it'll happen again. Because, well, I'll say one thing about the Democrats. Two things. Yes, you can't get any more corrupt than the Democrat Party of the United States. Number two, yes, they are far superior in organization and running elections than the Republicans. Let's just leave it at that. So in order for the Republicans to win, they will have to be super prepared and super get out the vote. And everything that the Democrats have been good at, the Republicans need to be better at this time around in order for Donald Trump to win the election. I've been thinking about this a bit in the last few weeks as it becomes apparent that Trump is leading in the polls, and not just leading by a little bit. His numbers are getting ridiculously out of reach for Joe Biden. And a couple of stories I'm going to cover today is the interview he did on CNN and the fact that the first time that I've witnessed going way back, years, elections, that the left media and the Democrats themselves are throwing up their arms and they are, in fact, they don't know what to do. I saw James Carville, who's been around since the Bubba Bill Clinton days. He had a whiteboard, and he was showing all of the key races, like seven key states that are going to determine who the next president is. And he's pointing at him. He's seeing, Biden's down this much here. Biden's down this much here. Biden's down this much here. And he was just livid. He says, I'm going crazy here. He says, I've never seen such an out-of-touch administration in my entire life. Their message isn't resonating. They keep doubling down. They've bought into the far left that's hijacked the party and on and on. And then he just kind of walked away. He is representative of what's going on throughout the Democrat Party right now, because they had what they thought was a stuck pig ready to stick on the barbecue pit in Donald Trump with the January 6th incident and a lot of other areas that they had, in my opinion, and it's not just my opinion, that they have weaponized the Justice Department to go after Donald Trump in a variety of different ways to make it impossible for him to beat back the legal challenges. Well, now as we see, the document case down in Florida has been postponed indefinitely because there's been prosecutorial malfeasance going on down there with evidence and everything. The Washington, D.C. case is pretty much in the same situation. Really, the only case that I can see is that Trump probably faces some jeopardy in is the one that's going on right now where the porn star has, Donald screwed it up big time there, in my opinion. You know, I don't know how he's going to weasel out of being responsible for the allegations against him levied that he dummied up his records to hide payments made to this prostitute that he, but I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he says, well, Trump can't possibly overcome all of this. And I said, hasn't he been punished enough? Didn't Stormy come out and spank him? Well, if he's already been spanked, let's go on. Let's get on with the election here. But that's just kind of a fictitious comment on Dwight's part here. But this is going to be very ugly going forward for Mr. Joe Biden and the Democrat because of a lot of different reasons. We know that when Trump gets elected, he'll immediately dismantle all of the craziness that Joe and the far left has instituted. He will shut that border down tighter than there's going to be a lot of people in the United States being rounded up for deportation, is my guess. I mean, it's just millions of people have been let into the country without any type of checks and balances, directly flying people from third countries all the way into cities in the United States. Yeah, get on an airplane in Caracas, Venezuela, and land in Las Vegas. And there you go, turn loose in the streets of Las Vegas. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that's been going on. But what I've noticed is, especially when I was watching the CNN interview, where basically in 16 minutes he lied 11 times. 11 lies in 16 minutes on CNN. And the CNN interviewer never once called him on a lie. Lies like, well, when he took office, the inflation rate was 9%. Well, that's not true. It was 1.5%. It was 9% later on in Joe's administration. But never let a lie get past you. Of course, this is a guy that claimed that his uncle was eaten by a cannibal as a pilot during World War II, or pilot or crew member or something on an airplane in World War II. That was a lie. He's just... I mean, if somebody was to write a book, in fact, if there's an author out there, if you want to make a little money, write a book about, in the term of Joe Biden, how many absolutely ridiculous times this guy's lied, and lied on areas that were easily, that lies easily found out. Easily. I mean, just lies, lie, 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 lie. It's like the guy is incapable of telling the truth. One other item on that interview that I have to point out, and we've all heard about Joe's, well, he's 82, going on 83. And so he's diminishing. And this, the Democrats are talking about his mental abilities are diminishing before our very eyes. And they're scared. One of the biggest threats is this diminished ability of Joe Biden that has become more and more apparent, because when Joe ran in 2020, they hid him in the basement. They never even brought him out to campaign because they figured that they could overcome Trump, and which they did with their plan, by keeping their candidate out of sight, out of mind. If you can't get at him to asking questions, then you can't find out truly how diminished he is. Because Joe Biden used to be sharp. He was a sharp cookie when he was running Senate committees and that. I remember the absolute disaster that happened to Supreme Court Justice Thomas when Joe Biden lied to him and said, well, yeah, I don't see any problem with your nomination. And then went about bringing in a woman that claimed that Supreme Court Justice Thomas had sexually assaulted her and harassed her and all this stuff, which turned out to be nothing but a big lie. A set up lie because they were trying to railroad his nomination, but he ended up becoming the Supreme Court Justice, and now he's the most senior Supreme Court Justice. But this guy, Biden, was a sneaky, and he was witty in his day, but that's been, I'm going to think back, I think that was in like 1987 or 88, the Justice Thomas's nomination. So it's been a long time ago that Justice Thomas has been serving. Let's see, over 30 years, let's see, about 12 and 24. Yeah, like 36 years he's bound to have been. So but I do recall Biden back in those days. So what the Joe Biden that we're seeing now is just a shell and has been for quite a while of what he was back then. And, I don't like to pick on senile people, but, you have to call out what you see. And what I saw on the interview is a guy that was going on 83 years old who has marked decreased mental facility. Now, that could be why all the lies are out there. Because what normal person would just lie like he lied? So it's definitely something. Now, he's a liar. And then if you take the fact that he's got decreased mental ability, well, then maybe the trait of him being a liar just got magnified, and what he's always been in is a liar, and now it's just his go-to, and he doesn't try to hide, with any type of, sleight of hand or anything, the lies that he's telling, but it's pretty obvious that, he's pretty much lost it as a president. And so then we have the Kamala Harris, which is a good example to any party. Listen, parties want to win elections. Politicians want to win elections. They want to be bosses. They want to tell us what to do, and they want to make lots of money under the table. That's what they're an animal that goes like this. But if they have a minute amount of ethics about them, you don't put a person like Kamala Harris as your vice president, because the woman is incompetent, and not just a little incompetent. She is a lot incompetent, and it sends shivers down not only my back, but Democrats and independents and Republicans' back to even contemplate her taking over if something were to happen to Joe Biden. We've been living with a ticking time bomb here since the administration began. At any point, a person that's in Joe Biden's age group, you can have a stroke and stroke out, and that's it. You're in a coma or you're dead. Because granted, President of the United States has, at their fingertips, the finest medical care and doctors literally in the world are right there, probably right behind the curtain when he's being interviewed, to step in at a millisecond. But if there's a major stroke or something like that takes place, God forbid, because I don't wish this on anybody, what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking. But if that was to happen, I mean, he could be brain dead, before they know what they're doing. And that would be a horrible situation for the world at large with all the problems out there that we are facing. He's our president. He's an incompetent president. He's a liar. He doesn't do a good job, but I mean, he's kind of like when you've got a football team and you've got like a starting quarterback, and then you got a backup quarterback that's generally pretty good. And then you got a kid that's a third string quarterback that has potential, but you want to bring them along slow because you anticipate them playing at some future date. And then you got like a fourth guy that's a practice squad guy that, you know, he's kind of hanging around the fringes on the practice squad. He's got talent, but, you know, he may end up having to go someplace else to play. But all of a sudden, it's the middle of the season. You got 8 more games to play, and you've lost in a matter of a couple of games. Your starting quarterback, the backup quarterback, and the third string quarterback are all out for the season. And you have to roll in the fourth stringer that literally has 0 snaps with the offensive starters, barely probably knows anything about the playbook, and you've got to run with this guy for the remainder of the term. Well, this is where we're sitting with Joe Biden. And our starting quarterback is horrible. Horrible. And folks, you know, if you are a Christian or any Jew, whatever, if you have a relationship with your God, you need to pray for the United States. I know people listen to me all across the world, but we're in serious jeopardy here in the United States as far as our national leader is concerned. Yeah, I know you can point to the messes in, you know, virtually every capital in the world, that there's some intrigue going on and some people that should not be sitting in positions of power. But we have this huge power void right now, and it's because of two-party election system we have here, where the two parties, they don't attract even probably the 50th best candidate that ends up on their nomination, because it's all a rigged game with favors and, you know, trying to secure, pecking orders and who can get appointed to this job. See, it's all about money. Money is the main driving force in the United States politics. And where you're at in the pecking order is how much money you can make. And so with these guys and gals eyeing for the position, their accountant and bookkeepers and all of those kind of, and their family members are all going, you know, rubbing their palms together. Like, if we can just get old Fred elected here or Mary elected here, you know, how much is in it for us, family members and close friends and longtime business associates? What kind of contract can we get? What kind of favoritism can we get? You know, no bigger story than Hunter Biden. I mean, the guy's a drug addict. And again, there's lots of drug addicts out there. It's a horrible disease that Hunter Biden has dealt with. But he hasn't really had to deal with it to the same degree as other Americans or Europeans or Africans or anywhere else in the world has had to deal with it, because he's got this huge apparatus called the United States government backing him and feeding him pablum. Right now, all of the protections are falling aside as people are scrambling for life rafts. And Hunter's been hung out to dry. I have no doubt that at some point he's going to be convicted of being a foreign agent, to having taken millions of dollars from foreign governments. He's got that gun charge, where as a drug addict in his home state, he bought a gun and lied on the application. You can't buy a gun if you're a drug addict. And he did, and there's pictures of him holding the gun. I mean, they've got the whole goods. Now, all of his appeals on that were tossed out because that sweetheart deal that his dad and all the government people had worked out for him when Biden's administration was very young and fresh, it's fallen apart. Now, the prosecutors have backed away from giving him a special deal. The judges aren't buying it. He faces 25 years in prison for the gun charge alone. So would he get that? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to see the guy hung or anything like that. I just want him treated like the rest of us would be treated. And I think that's all anybody really wants in this, is that, Hunter, if you took corrupt payments and stuff, we know you've got a drug problem. I mean, we're sure that that played into your lack of reasoning ability and all that. And you lived a very raunchy life. I mean, you were sleeping with your brother's wife, your dead brother's wife. You know, it's some of the stuff you didn't want to even acknowledge the baby you had, which, by the way, still isn't acknowledged by the Biden family, although they have to pay child support and everything because it's their child. But so it's all coming to a head here, and I'm going to point out some of the reasons it's come to a head in the next half hour of the show, because it's so obvious. Well, you got people like Peggy Noonan, her editorial. You got other editorials out there, and we'll cover that here in a minute when I get back from my break. But, you know, have faith. If you guys are Christians or Jews or what have you out there, pray. Somehow the world will get through this, this chapter of the government of the United States of America. But I don't know what shape we're going to be in, but somehow we'll get through this. Somehow. Let's just hope that Joe Biden doesn't get us into a nuclear war or some other stupid decision that he could make. Or let's hope that there's somebody that can restrain him in some way, you know, with a straitjacket or what have you, you know, and prevent us from the really serious consequences of his incompetency and reduced mental faculty. And I'll be right back after the break.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B. It's the Jonathan Wright Show.
Find it right here at revolution.radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Tune
listening to the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, Dwight Lilly, and thanks for sticking around for the second half hour of today's show. Before I get into the next article, Tory, I guess you'd have to say, about Joe Biden, which I'm going to get into the Israel story next. But first, I have to remind you again that Revolution Radio needs your financial support. We are a listener-supported radio network, and we depend upon the listeners to help us pay the bills here. So at freedomslips.org, please hit the donate button and give generously. Or, again, you can be a Patreon supporter. You can donate through cryptocurrency. You can mail in a donation. There's four different ways to help us keep the lights on here, so please donate generously to Revolution Radio. Okay, going on here. Now, this next story is absolutely a prime example of Joe Biden bending to the far left wackos taking over the universities in the United States in protest of Israel, with anti-Semitic rantings that literally have not been heard since the Nazi era of Germany. I mean, there's always been a respect for our Jewish friends and neighbors and fellow Americans, our friends over in Israel. Many, many, many people that are in Israel cross, I guess you'd have to say, go back and forth between the United States and Israel. The head of Israel, Bibi, graduated from MIT here in the United States and spent years in the United States. He didn't go back to Israel. His family's in the United States. He didn't go back to Israel until the war started, where the Israel was being invaded by other Arab countries, and he went back to join the military, which is very common for people that are Americans and are of Israeli heritage to, listen, I got to go help out, you know, because, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a Jew or not, whether you're a Muslim or not, whatever you are, the Holy Bible of Christianity has been a hallmark of our civilization going back 6,000 years, starting with the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. Now, what the area that Israel is located, and including like places like Syria and Lebanon, and an entire region there, was in our Bible given to the Jews by God forever. Now, sure, there's been this history between that period of time and now where Jews have been there and gone and back and forth. But basically, when your God has given you something forever in an inheritance, it's kind of like I inherited 20 gold bars from my, you know, great uncle Fred, who's in London. So I'm over in London, and I have to, you know, get an attorney involved and all of that, and make sure that the gold bars are secure, right? And so you put it into safekeeping, is what you do. Now, this is a made up story. I didn't inherit 20 gold bars. If I come back to the United States and live for 30 or 40 years or what have you, it does not mean that I walked away from my inheritance. It's still my inheritance. It's still my gold bar. I simply am not using them or looking at them or spending them or whatever. I'm not. No different than anybody else. It's on a much larger scale. The inheritance of the lands that God gave the Jews is their land. Now, sure, people come and live on your land, squatter on your land, build cities and civilizations, and they go away. It doesn't take away the fact that you inherited the land from God, who created everything. And this is the foundational claim that Israel has where they're at. They're not even asking right now to take over the entire area of their inheritance. Israel's a small, very small in relation to its larger inheritance. And so we have helped keep them afloat ever since the Jews gathered in modern-day Israel after World War II, back in 1948, which was the year I was born. I mean, it's been 76 years. And on forward, the United States have been staunch allies of Israel because we didn't want them wiped out. We had allied troops, including American commanding generals, walking through Auschwitz, these various concentration camps, seeing the horror that had been inflicted on these people, and vowing that this is not going to happen again. Well, President Joe Biden significantly shifted his policy towards Israel this week by threatening to withhold U.S. weapons if Israeli government moves forward with a full-scale invasion of Rafah in the Gaza Strip, while also pledging ironclad support for the Jewish state in a speech condemning the rise of anti-Semitism. Now, wait a minute. We have documented proof of 1,200 women and children and people massacred by terrorists that came across from the Gaza. Hamas terrorists. Hamas being the chosen governing body, a terrorist organization, of the people living in Gaza. Their government attacked the sovereign country of Israel, and they've taken back people and captured him and won't give him back. And Israeli government has said, listen, that is it. The line in the sand has been drawn. We've put up enough patience with this. We're going to go into the Gaza and we're going to clean house. So what has happened? They announced to the Gaza residents, listen, we're going to be invading this area. You need to get out of here. People say, well, Dwight, there's millions of people there living. The bombs are coming. Yeah, but we don't have anywhere to go. Well, if you want to get blown up, then stay where you're at because we're going to clean out the terrorists. See, all this time that Hamas was their government, receiving billions of dollars from donations from around the world, they've stolen the money from the people, didn't use it to help the people of Gaza. Instead, they built huge underground bunkers underneath hospitals and schools that they've operated military operations from. You know, and just the whole thing was designed to create a fortress using the population of Gaza as a human shield. Well, if you're going to root out the rats, then sometimes you have to burn the building down to get the rats out. It gets so infested that the only way of getting rid of something on an infestation is you completely have to burn it down and start over again. There's no getting it out, you know, and that's a bad analogy maybe, but not really. And so Israel is needed to get this Rafah place. Well, at Rafah, known leaders of Hamas are holed up in these areas, and they're surrounded by a shield of hostages. Now, nobody wants to see the hostages killed, but evidently a lot of them have been killed anyway. It's a horrible mess. And so they're ready to, you know, to get the job done, and Bill Biden bent to the will of his far-left anti-Semitic students and took their side over an ally we've had for 76 years. First time in our history. Biden's new position has created different fault lines of division within his own Democrat Party. The president now faces a rash of new criticism from some lawmakers and voters in battleground states, where his position on Israel carries the most political risk for his efforts to win re-election. Now, this is a major blow to the, not only is Biden already losing badly in the battleground states, which I brought up the James Carville comments, but now he's thrown this onto the fire. This says it's starting to seem as if he's supporting the wrong side. Starting to seem, said David Jacobowicz, a Democrat from Allegheny County in Pennsylvania. That's what he told NBC News. Jacobowicz wouldn't say if he'll vote for Biden in November. Well, you got to, you know, it's a vote between good and evil. Nasser Raza, an undecided voter from Scottsdale, Arizona, who voted for Biden in 2020, said the president's shift to position in Israel, quote, may be too late for a lot of people that I know, but added, I may yet still vote for Joe Biden if I see a complete ceasefire. If I see a hope for the Palestinians to go on in there, to have their own rights and a homeland for themselves. Well, listen, you may feel that way, but you're probably one out of 100 there in Scottsdale. Over the 7 months since the war in Gaza began, Biden's staunch backing of Israel has alienated him from some of his key supporters, including young voters and Arab Americans, and won him acolytes from others who appreciated his pro-Israel stance. The shift in his position this week comes at an inflection point in the war. This is a key point of a seven-month war. Negotiations over ceasefire in Gaza in exchange for the release of some hostages still held by Hamas are fragile at best, and Israel is poised to enter Rafah despite Biden's repeated objections. Whether his handling of the conflict affects how voters make up their minds in November is still an open question. A key question for Biden's reelection effort is that voters who oppose his approach stay home, potentially tipping the scales for Trump. Anyway, that's a lot of speculation there, but I can tell you right now, there are a lot of Jews. As Donald Trump came out yesterday and said, if you are a Jew and voted for Joe Biden in 2020, look what this got you. If you vote for him now, you see where he stands. He has chosen the wacko anti-Semitics over you, and that's basically what it boils down to. Now, what the argument is over 2,000-pound bombs that are dropped. You know, the reason they got to drop these bombs is all of these tunnels underneath there. These are like bunker blusters that will break through into where the tunnels are, because that's where you got to root the rats out. You got to go down into the sewer and get the rat. So it's an amazing situation here. And again, the citizens that are in the sites of where this bombing would take place have been warned, get out. Get out. You know, people say, well, Dwight, you know, you're just not being fair. Their families, they're elderly. There's all elections have consequences. Elections have consequences. The choices we make carry consequences. It's the Gaza residents that chose Hamas. Never forget this. Now, going on here, Trump on Thursday said he wouldn't do what Biden did and questioned why Jewish voters would support Biden. He said, quote, if you're Jewish and you vote for him, I say shame on you. And Trump's daughter and son-in-law are Jewish. Trump and his grandchildren. Trump said in an interview with North Carolina Spectrum News One. Now, John Kirby, a spokesperson for the National Security Council, pushed back on criticism of Biden's stance. He said, the argument that somehow we're walking away from Israel or we're not willing to help them defeat Hamas just doesn't comport with the facts. Wait a minute. I got a problem with it. Does it comport with the facts? Whose war is it? Israel has taken a war stance against Hamas in Gaza. This is a Israeli military operation that has reached out to its allies for assistance. It doesn't need permission from the United States. What it does need is when you're an ally and you promise full support, then you have worked your strategy around that support. At this point, the injunction to pull up partisan politics as an excuse not to follow through with your relationship and agreement as an ally, this is just beyond this is a complete knife in the back. And what it tells anybody out there, an ally, is you can't trust the United States. They will leave you hanging high out of the water if their partisan politics gets involved. And that's what's going on there. And it's a horrible situation. A horrible situation for the Jewish people. Senator John Fetterman, a Democrat from Battleground, Pennsylvania, which, by the way, Trump happens to be leading in, who is a vociferous supporter of Israel, criticized Biden for signaling he'd halt weapons if Israel launches a major invasion of Rafah. He says, quote, a hard disagree and deeply disappointing of the policy. In another twist in how Biden changed position has shaken up views of him from within his own party. One of the sharpest critics of his handling of the conflict in Gaza, Representative Pramila Jayapal, Democrat Washington, called it, quote, an important turning point in the war. I commend the president for heeding this call to ensure we protect innocent Palestinian lives and refuse to supply weapons to ensure no more civilians in Gaza are killed as a consequence of U.S. bombs. This is one of the member of the six, whatever they're called, with, you know, the wackos. That she's the head of the wacko group, of course. So she's the one that's speaking out in favor of it. This is the people that Joe Biden expects to help him win the election. Now, Jill Zippin, the chairwoman and co-founder of a Jewish political action committee in Pennsylvania that's endorsed Biden, Democrat Jewish Outreach, said she agrees with his targeted approach to Israel. I bet she can't show up in the synagogue this coming week. Okay. While many progressive Democrats and younger voters have been critical of Biden's Israeli policy after the October 7th Hamas terrorist attack, with some vowing to sit out the November election, others saying it ultimately won't affect their vote. Alex Torn, a 20-year-old student in Grand Rapids, Michigan, said he disagrees with Biden's handling of the war in Gaza and hopes his decision to halt a shipment of weapons to Israel last week is a permanent change. The problem we have here, obviously, is that what I'm reading you, these different groups right here, these are the far left anti-Semitic groups, the Muslims and the people that are against Israel. And this is the group of students and politicians and intellectuals that Joe Biden has aligned himself with. And, you know, you're known by your company that you keep. And so this is what he's going to ride into the election, which has people like James Carville, and you'll see here Peggy Noonan going absolutely wacko over this. And I'll get to that in a second here, as soon as I find this other article here. Here we go. Opinion. Now, Peggy Noonan is not somebody I read a lot of. She's she's a liberal editorials, I guess you have to say. This is a Wall Street Journal, because she writes opinions for the Wall Street Journal. This is a Wall Street Journal opinion. 2024 election, a certain fatalism sets in. A certain fatalism. 6 months to election day, and things feel sort of fatalistic. There are some little things to discover and nothing new to say about each of the candidates. It's not going to dawn on you suddenly that Joe Biden is too old and infirm, or Donald Trump too crazy. You factored that in. You know what you think of both and have a sense of what comprises. You'll make within yourself a vote for either. I'm going to increase the size of the print here because I got old eyes, so I can read a bit. There we go. Voters can still be judged. It's not over. Nudged, I mean. Voters, I'm kind of goofed this out. Voters can still be nudged. It's not over. But Mr. Trump is ahead in most, if not all, the battleground states. And I am struck by the number of political operatives, veterans and thinkers now asking honestly if there is anything the president can do to pull it out. Someone will suggest a sister Solia moment in which the president distances himself from the cultural left. Then they'll shake their heads and say too late. And who would believe it? That he's just suddenly doesn't back their position. A veteran Democrat office holder gives the bottom line, quote, a pro-Biden coalition does not exist, but an anti-Trump one does. Mr. Biden must stop making the election a referendum on his record and instead make it a referendum on Trump's. When people are this negative, making it about your opponent. In other words, make up whatever you can about Trump, even though we had the best economy, we had the borders pretty much under control. Inflation was at record lows. Let's just make up something negative about Donald Trump. Well, the guy's got orange hair. The guy is a loudmouth. The guy's a woman. Whatever they can think of to throw at Trump, because President Biden's message is not resonating well with anybody, Democrats, independents, or Republican. It's just not. Joe Biden hitched his wagon to the far left, and it backfired, and it's too late to do anything about it. The past month's campus demonstration will hurt Joe Biden, at least marginally. They reveal his party split. People don't like violence, screaming, and the anti-Semitism bubbling up from the universities. The veteran political consultant Alex Castellanos said the other night on Mark Halperin's Wide World of News that for parents with kids in high school and college, what's happening on campus isn't abstract and far away, it's personal. Afterward, he elaborated, parents have seen their children. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to finish this in the next half hour, first half hour of the second hour of this show, so we can keep it right there.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids, dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out. Up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement. Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time
Live from Studio B, it's the Jonathan Wright Show.
Find it right here at revolution.radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, Dwight Lilly back here, and I was covering the editorial in the Wall Street Journal that Peggy Noonan, who is a Democrat / lefty liberal, wrote regarding Joe Biden and his problems he's having with his campaign. And I was at a point, I took a break of the article because I didn't want to get everything out of context, so I could pick it up in this first half hour of the second hour of the show. But before I get into that, I got to remind you once again that Revolution Radio is a real listener-supported radio network, and therefore we need you to go to freedomslips.org and hit the donate button, or become a Patreon supporter. Or you can donate through a direct mail contribution, or even use Bitcoin or Ethereum crypto. The point is we need funding to keep the network going here, and we don't reach out to commercial companies. We don't want to have to bend to their editorial preferences on anything we talk about, and that's the main reason why. So anyway, give generously to Revolution Radio. Okay, going on here. And Peggy had been laying out and talking to different people on the Democrat side, says the past month's campus demonstration will hurt Mr. Biden at least marginally. They reveal his party split. People don't like violence and screaming and the anti-Semitism bubbling up from the university. The veteran political consultant Alex Castellanos said the other night on Mark Halperin's Wide World of News that for parents with kids in high school and college, what's happening on campus isn't abstract and far away. It's personal. Afterward, he elaborated, parents have seen their children not only radicalized by the left, radicalized but left unfit and prepared for a productive future. Parents are stunned to see the trusted educational institutions have captured their children and engrossed them in a naive fantasies about the world. When voters object to a situation, they kick against the incumbents who reign over them. And that is a big admission from a major journalist from the far left. The admission that people sending their kids to major universities in this country have been radicalized and basically neutered and left unprepared for any type of productive future. They're just this working army of far lefty zealots that they can bend to their will and then just toss them aside. This is a realization that's taken place by families across the United States. And it's going to have consequences in the universities, all the way down to grade schools in public schools and private schools in the United States. That is finally admission that the education system of the United States is a radicalized, far-left, ideologically pure, in that they are deviants. These people are deviants that are educating children. And they're paying for it, tax dollars or tuition. Those people that took over the campus in New York City, those parents pay $90,000 a year tuition to that university. It's $360,000 to get a four-year degree, and you end up with this radicalized creature that comes out of there. Well, you know, you can see them on TV. Anyway, the Trump criminal cases, Peggy goes on to say, seem a bust. Now, this was a big strategy in this 2024 election, was to, again, weaponize the FBI and the Justice Department to go after Donald Trump with criminal cases and hopefully get him convicted and thrown in prison. Or at the very least, be able to sit down with him and negotiate that he goes away. And it's been a bust. The stolen documents case is delayed. And that one right there is going to go away because, I mean, my God, Joe Biden himself, well, had boxes of documents that he'd had since his days as a U.S. senator in a garage next to his Corvette. How can you hold Trump accountable and not Joe Biden? Anyway, oh, well, the reason is, well, he's senile. He can't be prosecuted, according to the special investigator. Joe Biden's senile. You can't go after a mentally ill person. That's going to fly well at the polls, isn't it? Okay, the stolen documents case is delayed. The Georgia election tampering case, done in by the arrogance and ill judgment of prosecutors. And the missing set. What happened to the $760,000 or ever? It was over $700,000 that was given to the district attorney's lover to help work on the case, and they can't account for the spending of it. Well, we know it. Let's put it this way. We may not physically see all the receipts, and we know what happened to the money. I'll just leave it at that. The one that's gone ahead in New York is the case of least national significance and no news. Donald Trump is a pig with women and a financial finagler. Yeah? I mean, he's been that way since his days running his business in New York. That's not anything new. People knew about that in 2016, and they elected him president over Hillary Clinton. Stormy Daniels, on the stand, was more descriptive than required, and it actually isn't nice to see a former president embarrassed in this way. This is from Peggy Noonan, a well-respected far-left journalist. On the other hand, news reports reminded me of Oscar Wilde on the death of Little Nell. One would have to have a heart of stone to read it and not laugh. I begin most days with John Ellis' reliably brilliant daily newsletter, Political News Items. 6 months ago, he sensed that voters weren't sold on the idea that what stands between them and the end of democracy was Joe Biden. He advised Democrats to offer a variation on the theme. Trump is a one-man anxiety creation machine. He all but promises chaos with his late-night Truth Social screeds and menacing behavior. Chaos is a feature, not a bug, of Trump's ideas of his re-election campaign. It will continue because he enjoys it. He enjoys testing the boundaries of acceptable behavior and seeing what happens when he does. Democrats should hit hard there if the issue is Biden defeat is certain. They don't want it to be an issue about Biden. They want it to be an issue about Trump. This week, Mr. Ellis advanced the idea that Democrats home in on not on Mr. Trump or his supporters, but on MAGA world. He may be half mad, but there's often method to his madness. MAGA world is just crazy and dumb. Highlight the clown car with its three stooges, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and Lauren Boebert. Not many people want them in the driver's seat. Mr. Ellis sees Mr. Biden struggling because the two pillars of his reelection effort are tenacious at best. The first is abortion. Mr. Ellis cites a CNN poll showing only 23% of voters say that a candidate must share their views on abortion. Abortion polled way down at 5% when respondents were asked the nation's most urgent issues. The issue helps him, but not decisively. As for the second pillar, is there anyone who believes that defending democracy can only be entrusted to an 82-year-old man of halting gait and declining mental acuity, whom three-quarters of the American electorate view as incapable of serving effectively as president if reelected? That issue, too, can help him in November, but not decisively. The Biden campaign needs a larger argument. Mr. Ellis writes that for Mr. Trump, his choice of vice president could be decisive. My read on that question is that Mr. Trump tends to do what Mr. Trump does. In 2016, he picked Governor Mike Pence because he needed a veteran officeholder who was demonstrably sane. Mr. Trump has since acquired his own political experience, but still needs sane. He is said to want someone who would put personal loyalty over other loyalty, which limits the list. And as Mr. Biden has more donor money, Mr. Trump would want someone with a lot of cash. I saw the vice presidential choice as important but not critical, Mr. Ellis says otherwise. One of the strongest implicit arguments for voting for Trump is the not unimaginable possibility that Biden will have a stroke or be otherwise brain damaged or dead and thus be replaced by Vice President Harris. People, regardless of political affiliation, see her as not competent. Let me read that again. People, regardless of political affiliation, see Vice President Kamala Harris as not competent. That's the opinion of most people. She is far less a liability to Biden if Trump picks a running mate such as Governor Kristi Noem, a dog-murdering nitwit, which he's not going to do. Mr. Trump needs someone with gravitas and stature. Mr. Ellis puts towards Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, a proven vote-getter in a bluish state who became wealthy in the private sector. He's personable and untainted by scandal. He's not crazy, but steady and sturdy as they come. This might impress those among the roughly 300,000 voters in the 7 or 8 battlegrounds who'll swing the election. I end with a word to Trump foes who hope you'll be found guilty in New York case and sentenced to prison time. They think this will finish him off. It will not. Donald Trump doesn't know it, but he will love prison. He'll be the most specially treated convict in American history, better than the mob bosses in Goodfellas. He'll be in his cell with his phone. He'll get one. Live streaming and live truthing. He'll be imposing thumbs up in his uniform, surrounded by gangbangers and white-collar hoodlums. He'll philosophize about how a lot of people in prison don't deserve to be there, the system's rigged, and he'll consider pardons. All convicts tell you that they are railroaded, and this will be new to Trump. He'll believe them. He'll be the king of Rikers. He'll say he's learned a lot, and the guards are all for Trump, and he's going to get out and reform the justice system. It will be fabulous for him. He'll put himself as Martin Luther King, and he'll be writing truth for the Birmingham jail. People forget this. He loves this. He loves the game, the drama, and the devil takes care of his own. So that was a far-left columnist, Peggy Noonan, on the subject of certain fatalism sets in. Now, she was being coy at best. She hit on some very good points. She's not prepared to come out with a scorched earth column against Joe Biden because, frankly, she would lose a lot of her readership. And secondly, they don't want to hear it. They want the columnists such as Peggy Noonan and the media people such as those on CNN that interviewed Biden, they want them firmly in control. They want the senile, deteriorating Joe Biden as the presidency to continue. But this is like fatalism. He barely articulates and is capable of functioning now. And after 3 years of presidency coming up, I mean, fourth year of his presidency coming to an end, coming up here at the beginning of the year. The guy's been, you know, one of the things that when you're in business, you always like to have a lot of duct tape around. Duct tape is tape that's used, well, for ducts, heating and air conditioning ducts and stuff. It's used to hook together sections of, well, heating ducting and all that. But, man, you can use it for a million different things. Joe Biden has been duct taped together trying to maintain some type of dignity and presidentialness about himself. But he's you know, the game is up. Everybody has seen him fall down airplane ramps. Everybody's seen him stuttering and lost after finishing a speech where his people have to lead him where he needs to go and probably change his diaper. I mean, this is an embarrassing showing. Our allies see what's going on in Israel. Our enemies, more importantly, see what's going on in Israel. How Biden is approaching Israel's war against the terrorists over there. Because they want to see what his reaction would be there and compare it to their potential actions that they would, you know, might want to take and what the United States' reaction would be. I mean, this is, you know, so every move that he makes is being highly scrutinized. Our allies have to be, well, here's what they're doing. Our NATO allies, every country, they've been meeting with the agenda being we need to raise our defense budgets huge because they don't anticipate Biden being there for them if something comes down. They saw what happened in Ukraine, his hot and cold approach there of his administration and the lack of leadership, true leadership, when it came to Afghanistan and the withdrawal from there. And now the lies are coming out about the Afghanistan withdrawal, where there's been video footage that prove that it was a lot. Lies were told about what the conditions were on the ground at the time of the surrender, because we did surrender. We surrendered to the Taliban in Afghanistan and cut tail and run. That was Joe Biden's response, and people were left behind. Well, it's worse. It's far worse once you dig into it, and I'm sure this stuff will come out going forward in the campaign. But will President Biden debate Donald Trump? I don't think so. There's not a world out there in the universe where President Joe Biden will get on a stage and in any way, shape, or form have to stand up against Donald Trump because he's incapable of doing it. He's simply incapable of doing it. And they can't have his handlers out there. That's not what a debate is. You have to be the guy or woman out there on the debate stage, and the world's looking at you. And you, when that has to happen, Joe Biden can't perform. Sure, his handlers all make excuses, and they try to color it a certain way. But just like in a CNN interview that I related to you, there was 11 lies told in 16 minutes that were easily laid out after the debate, and the CNN reporter never called him on any of the lies. Not a single time did she say, Mr. President, you're wrong on that, and we know that she had the fact. See, she covered up for Joe Biden, but it's getting harder and harder. And when you watch the news reports coming out of MSNBC and CNN, where the talking heads on there looking at each other as they're looking at the polling numbers. And, you know, there's a stark reality setting in that, man, this is what defeat looks like. This is a disaster unfolding before our eyes. We've done everything we can propaganda-wise to prop up this guy, and none of it has worked. And I think that is the key going on with Biden right now. Is nothing they're doing is saving him because they're trying to save him from himself. And you can't save him from himself. Joe Biden's problem right now is one of ego and pride. And before the fall comes the pride, is what it says in the Bible. Joe Biden can't envision losing this election. He can't envision stepping aside so a more competent person on the Democrat side will step in. Now, what possibly might happen is that the powers that be, the Hillary Clintons, the Bill Clintons, the Barack Obamas, you know, the David Axelrod, all of these, the James Carville, will have a summit meeting somewhere, and they'll say, listen, we can't come out of the August Democrat convention with Joe Biden and Pamela Harris as our ticket. We can't do it. We might as well just throw in the towel, not spend another nickel and save it for the next round of elections 2 years later for the congressional seat, because it's lost. If they change horses in August, I mean, the election, summer, we're still in summer with people vacationing, and August is a major vacation, so people are out on the road, so the people don't start paying attention again until after their kids are back in school, and this is the stretch where people make their decision on who they vote for. If you remember in 2016, Hillary Clinton was blowing Donald Trump out of the water as far as all the polls were concerned. But it was that stretch where she made a few gaffes, you know, talking against the coal workers stuff. But the point is that people then turned their attention and looked at the two candidates, really gave them a look. And when they did that, all of the makeup came off of Hillary Clinton. All of the pig, you know, the pig that had the lipstick on became a pig again, and they voted against her. And they put Donald Trump in there. I believe that Donald Trump is going to win the election in November because Joe Biden is not going to step down. And there's nobody from the far left that's going to step up and tell him to step down because they're getting what they want. The far left right now with their radical demonstrations and so forth, this is right out of the communist playbook. Radicalize people and try to destroy the government within. So this is what their true intent has been all along, is to destroy America. So Joe Biden is their best vehicle to destroying America. They don't care about what happens to America. And Joe Biden has never realized that, neither has his inner circle, that the people that he supports are not the people that want anything to do with our democracy. It's not about preserving a democracy. They want to destroy it. And I got to take a break. We'll stop after the break. So we'll continue on after the break.
It's no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, back for the final half hour of the show. This is Down the Rabbit Hole with Dwight Lilly, your host. And we've definitely gone down a rabbit hole with Joe Biden and the campaign for presidency and the missteps of his campaign, and have covered a lot of that material today because I thought it was important to sort of sum up a lot of what's going on media-wise in the talking headland, because they are the people that, rather than report the news, have reported narratives, and they try to drive the news. They try to be the news. And so for as many elections as I can remember going back now, it's been a corrupted media that, rather than make sure that the truth gets out to the public, has been the instrument used by political parties. I'll say this is both sides. This is not just one side. It's both sides. But right now, it's the far-left media that is propping up an incompetent president. Before I get into what's the New York Post editorial board said about it, and by the way, I have to say that I told a lie. It was a 16-minute interview, excuse me, a 17-minute interview on CNN, and Biden told not 11 lies, but 15 lies, is what the editorial board of the New York Post says, but we're going to get into that right after I make this announcement. And the last one of today's show is that Revolution Radio is a listener-supported radio network, and we depend upon you, the listener, to help us pay the bills. We have no paid advertising on any of the shows, so we are 100% totally dependent upon outside donation. So at freedomslips.org, please hit that donate button and give generously. You can also become a Patreon supporter, which is what I did, and the instructions on setting that up are right there on the website. If you choose to donate through cryptocurrency, there's links for that. And if you want to mail in a donation, there is a snail mail address. You can mail in a check or a money order or what have you. The important thing is we need to get the bills paid, and we need your help. Okay, so let's go on with the article by Brian Flood as he talks about the editorial from the Post. It says, President Biden told a staggering number of whoppers when he spoke to CNN's Aaron Burnett this week. And the New York Post wrote in a savage editorial about it. The Post editorial board accused Biden of telling, well, a lie a minute, is a quote, in an editorial featuring an image of the president morphing into Pinocchio. Pinocchio is a character that was like a wooden doll that if he lied, his nose grew. And every time he told a lie, the nose kept growing and growing and growing. And so what they've depicted Joe Biden as being, well, it was a good depiction, a wooden puppet with a long lying nose. Okay, the White House has come under pressure from news outlets, specifically the New York Times, for a lack of sit-down interviews with journalists willing to ask tough questions. Wednesday's chat with CNN's Aaron Burnett shows why. In a brief 17 minutes, Biden told 17 lies, nearly a lie a minute. From whoppers about the economy to prevarications on Israel, Biden spun a fantasy land of a presidency, well, that voters know is false. The Post then listed the 15 lies, starting with Biden's claim that he created over 15 million jobs as president. It says, quote, Biden's favorite falsehood, told over and over and over again, no matter how many fact checks call him out on it, he took office at the tail end of a pandemic that blew a hole in the economy. When lockdown policies, wholeheartedly endorsed by Democrats, took people out of the office and onto COVID stimulus checks, it continued, he created nothing. After the introduction of the vaccine, people returned to the workforce. If anything, Biden's policies slowed the recovery. It took until July of 2022 for the U.S. economy to regain all the jobs lost due to the pandemic. The Post editorial board accused Biden of lying about the former President Trump losing more jobs than he created, which it called a corollary lie. Trump didn't lose jobs. He was president during a global pandemic, and liberals were thrilled to put people on government checks and shut down the world during COVID. They cannot argue that the job market would have been any different in 2020 under a Democrat, the editorial board wrote. Next up was Biden's claim that Trump would make medicine more expensive. As the Post pointed out, the presumptive GOP nominee has actually said the opposite. The Post also accused Biden of lying about the federal tax rate for billionaires, the economy polling data, corporate greed, impacting costs, how much money Americans have to spend, taxes, and even Israel. But the lie of the night was when the president claimed inflation was 9% when he took office, according to the Post. Biden continues to pretend that the U.S. was in terrible shape when he took office, when it was already on rebound, thanks to Trump's warp speed project that vaccinated people quickly against COVID. Inflation was a measly 1.4% in January of 2021, not 9%. And then Biden went on a first-year drunken sailor spending spree, and inflation skyrocketed, editorial board wrote. Biden also suggested that world leaders tell him if he's got to defeat Trump. Biden also suggested the world leaders tell him he's got to defeat Trump because democracy is at stake. Are other world leaders really pulling for Biden aside from his nap and saying democracy is at stake if he loses? Give us a break, the Post editorial board wrote. The White House did not immediately respond to comment on it. So, I'm telling you, I covered this earlier in a radio show, but I wanted to let you know what the Post had to say about this. And it's obvious that more and more people on the left media and more people on the right media are just sitting back, taking the pitches from Joe Biden and hitting a grand slam with every one right back in his face. And then when you hit one into his face, he claims he wasn't hit. You know, the guy, again, his uncle was eaten by cannibals, according to Joe Biden. It's just on and on and on, the lies this guy tells. The time that he spent time in jail. He's never spent any time in jail. However, I would suggest that somebody make a reservation for him if the allegations regarding the kickbacks and stuff pan out. And here's the thing. This is what the Democrats and Biden and his supporters are not really saying. They are not saying what's going to happen to them when a tarred and feathered, brutalized and crucified Donald Trump rises from the dead and wins the election. What is going to happen to them? What is going to be the repercussions to people in government, the FBI, the Justice Department? What is going to be the repercussions when Donald Trump's full wrath, you say, well, Dwight, you know, can't Trump just move on from this? Donald Trump is not a saint. Nobody listening to me out there is a saint. Restraint, when you have been punched in the nose as many times, insulted as Donald Trump has been. Now, a lot of it earned, right? Rightfully so. But still, they have thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, at Donald Trump to stop him in his tracks and allow them to continue with Joe Biden, who is their Pinocchio puppet. When he is back in office, immediately, as soon as he's sworn into office, there are going to be heads rolling that would make those that thought the French Revolution was a total wipeout for the aristocrats, it'll look like a garden party for the kids. There are going to be people indicted. There are going to be people that are going to be driven out of their positions in the media, driven out of their positions in the corporate world. There's going to be a bloodbath going on is what's going to happen. And because Donald Trump is going to seek revenge, and he will be the president of the United States, and he might be old too, but he's not the one that's got the diminished mental faculties about him. It's Donald Trump. It's Joe Biden. Joe Biden and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's uncle, Joe's brother, and all of these people are going to pay for what has happened to Donald Trump since the 2020 election. And it's just not going to be pretty. There's going to be pardons. It was mentioned about pardons in that one. Of course he's going to pardon people. There have been people thrown in prison because of their freedom of speech, the First Amendment right, that they were thrown in prison. There's going to be people that were thrown in prison over the January 6th thing that don't deserve to be in prison. There are people in the government, in the Biden administration, that are going to be thrown in prison over what they did during the January 6th situation. You know, it's gonna be an ugly time in our country. But again, like I mentioned earlier, fumigating, getting rid of rats, like what the Israelis have to do over in Gaza, is not pretty. It is not pretty to exterminate. I did it around here. We had rats come to my town about 4 years ago now. I had never seen a rat in our high desert town out here. And all of a sudden, the rat population exploded in our town. And it came to our house. We had rats, big rats, on our property. And I went on Amazon and bought 12 rat traps. And in all the settings of those rat traps, I caught one rat. One rat. Well, I had to go nuke, and I didn't want to do it. I went down to Tractor Supply, and I said, I need the green stuff, because I'd been told they got green stuff down there. And if you want to get rid of rats, that'll get rid of rats. And it did. You had to make sure none of your animals or any humans got any of that ingested, but it would get rid of the rats. Within less than a week, our rat infestation was gone. Killed every one of them. And now we act it like a treatment. Every year we go out, we got one place that leads down underneath the house and a couple other places where the rats like to come in when they were coming in before, and we've covered that and we haven't had a rat problem again since then. This is what's going to happen to the Democrats. They're rats, and they're going to be exterminated like rats. And it's not going to be pretty. And when Trump spends the next 4 years exterminating the rats, well, if the Republicans keep treating it once a year, hopefully we won't have a return to the rats. And that's a very caustic and ugly and obscene way of saying something about my fellow human beings out there. But these people deserve to be punished that have taken this man down the path they've taken him. Now, I'm not a, by the way, and you guys know this, I don't like Donald Trump. I don't know him. I met his son one time, Eric. I don't know Donald Trump. I saw Donald Trump at the Nevada State Convention when he came and spoke before. He's bigger than life, I will say that. But I don't consider him the type of person that I want to be associated with or anything about. But setting that aside, as the leader of our country, is he the best of both worlds? I talk about this locally in politics here, that they say, well, God, how can you support this person or that person? I said, listen, unfortunately, when it comes to voting, you're often faced with two bad choices. And I don't consider a Joe Biden and Donald Trump a good choices for the American people to have to make between, but they are the two choices that looks like we're going to be choosing between. I have to support who I think is best for the United States of America, but in particular, too, now, who's best for the people in Israel, who's best to run the country, clean up the border mess, who's best for the economy, who's best for inflation. There's a lot of points that I agree with, and it was one of the reasons I supported Donald Trump last time. He's a businessman. Yes, he's a slob, a womanizer, profane, egotistical, maybe a little bit crazy, too. But he is a successful businessman that is 78 years old and become a billionaire. Yeah, he got a good start from his dad. But Donald Trump's business abilities were what turned this country around. And if he'd had even a little bit of support from members of his own party in Congress and anybody in the Democrat side, he would have solved a lot of problems that he had solutions for that would have solved the problem, because Donald Trump as a businessman, is a problem solver. Running a business, because I've done it, I did it for over 30 years, you spend your time solving problems. If you're not a good problem solver, you don't succeed in business because things change on you on a dime. You know, the economy changes. You got to be very sure-footed. You got to be able to move quickly in decisions. You can't procrastinate. Joe Biden is a career politician. He was like towards the bottom of his class in college. Joe Biden is not an intelligent person, and he got into the system, the government, and it's just like all bureaucratic system. He was able to use a little bit of, Muhammad Ali did, rope-a-dope against Joe Frazier. Not Joe Frazier, but Foreman in the heavyweight championship. And he wore Foreman down and then he knocked him out. Well, Joe Biden kind of was a survivor in the Democrat side of the heavyweight fights, and he came out, ended up being Obama's vice president, and they went with him because he was malleable. He's a puppet. Well, this Joe Biden administration is in essence the third term of Barack Obama, and so what many of the policies you see, not the failed policies. This is all coming from the Obama side of things, and they're using this puppet out there that's a senile old man. So, what's going to happen to Barack Obama when Trump wins the next term? Well, I suspect there's going to be investigation. You know, there's going to be things happening that we've not even thought about, and that's going to be interesting. If I'm still having radio shows and stuff, you know, that's just suspect at best right now, the way my health is, but it'll be, I hope I am, because I would like to take down the rabbit hole, you know, as approach to dissecting the Trump presidency going forward. I think we have a very good chance, listeners, of having a return of Trump. What you need to do is sit back and really analyze Donald Trump. What I mean by that is set aside all prejudices that were propaganda induced. There have been stories told about Donald Trump that is flat out lies. There have been spin on all of these legal things that the truth, once somebody starts shining the light on it, starts showing how the cases are falling apart because people are looking at it and diagnosing and dissecting, and they're looking and they say, wait a minute, all of these cases that were supposed to destroy Donald Trump, when you really start looking for the meat, well, there's not much, a lot of meat. There's a lot of speculation, and you can't be found guilty just on speculation. And Donald Trump is lawyered up. He's always been good at lawyering up, and he had the resources to lawyer up. That's their big problem, is that they took on a guy legally that has the resources to lawyer up. Will Joe Biden have the resources to lawyer up once he leaves office? No. He will be left out there dangling. So will his son. So will his wife. So will all the people around him. They're going to be left out there dangling. It's not going to be pretty, folks, at all. And so I hope to be able to watch the next chapter in our country's democracy unfold from 2024 to 2028. Now, I'll be over 80 years old, so not to complaining. You know, I've had a good life and everything. So we'll see if I, you know, how long I'm able to continue broadcasting here on Revolution Radio. But I've had a great run. I've really enjoyed it, and we'll see. You know, and just, as long as they put up with me here, I'll have to keep coming back. But I've had some as you know, anybody that listens to me, I've missed quite a few shows this last year and a half. And it's not because I wanted to. It's because of, well, stuff when you get old. And but when I can, I'm here. And I'm excited about the future. I am. I'm excited about the future of the United States. And I don't think that this is going to be the last chapter. I've been pessimistic in the past. But I think that when it's all said and done in November's election, that the truth will have bubbled up. And, you know, Donald Trump will get reelected. It might be surprise a lot of people by how many votes he gets and how many states he carried. Because right now, people are looking at him and going, man, I supported Joe Biden. I wanted Trump not only gone, but dead. And now they're like, well, wait a minute. How I have to look at what decision I made after witnessing Joe Biden disaster for the last 4 years. And hey, you know, if the truth comes to push, you know, I have to vote for Donald Trump and put my fingers over my nose and vote for the guy, because we cannot even remotely consider having a Joe Biden in office, because we're going to end up with Kamala Harris. Ooh. Anyway, so this is about it for today's show. And I'll be back again, God willing, next Friday to talk about something else. But there is the Peggy Noonan, what she said is really amazing for her to come out with some of that stuff, because, and people like James Carville, the statements he's made, and other people, because this is the rats jumping ship on Joe Biden 6 months before the election. They're jumping ship. Now, again, we could have a August surprise, and the Democrats could choose somebody else to run, but that's kind of late in the game, and people will have pretty much say, wait a minute, all they're doing is grasping for straws. You know, we need some sanity here, and they'll go ahead and reelect Donald Trump. But we'll see. You guys have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's iPhone. Thank you. Welcome to the Crip.